Good evening, everyone. Welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in 1 Samuel. And tonight we will begin a study of the book of 1 Samuel. And we'll begin ready chapter 1, verse 1. The reason why I think this would be a good book for us to look at is because it's a book that has not really been addressed. Family Radio, as far as I know, has never done a study in 1st or 2nd Samuel. And I think that as we go through it, it will help us in the very least in gaining background information to many other things in the Bible. We'll find as we read just the first verse and as we go through the book of 1 Samuel, that there are many place names and people names, and we'll see that God has certain things in view by this, and at times we won't be able to understand what he has in view. But we'll also begin to develop a solid historical understanding for the background of much of the history of Israel and much of the history of the Bible. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Chronicles, Kings, the Psalms, and other parts of Scripture are interconnected. And, of course, the New Testament builds upon much of this. Now, I'm just going to read the first three verses as we begin the study tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto Jehovah of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of Jehovah, were there." Now, let me just say, before we continue, that Lord willing, we'll try to go verse by verse. We will read every verse. I guess what I mean by try is we'll try to understand each verse one by one as we go through the book. But we may come up upon verses that I just don't understand. And so we'll have an option at that point. We can continue on. Or what I think we'll at least try is to switch the study to 1 Peter, as we will be continuing another Bible study in 1 Peter every Sunday. And so we'll have these two ongoing Bible studies, one in the New Testament in 1 Peter, and this study of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. And if we run into a problem in 1 Samuel, we can, for maybe a few studies, switch to 1 Peter to give time to see if God might open up that particular verse. And so I think we'll try that. And it could get to the point where we just have to say we don't understand it and move on. 1 Samuel is a very big book. I think there's 31 chapters. There's a lot of information here. And we'll just try to do the best that we can. Okay, now let's go to verse 1. "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite." And immediately we're faced with all sorts of names, place names, like Ramathaim Zophon of Mount Ephraim, an Ephrathite, people names, Elkanah, Jeroham, Elihu, Tohu, Zuf. And this one verse really presents all sorts of problems in trying to understand its spiritual meaning. What spiritual meaning can we find when we encounter so many names? We do know that everything in the Bible has a deeper spiritual meaning, that God does not give a number or a name for no reason. Everything in the Bible has meaning and purpose. And so what we could do is we look up the name and we try to discover, what does the name mean? And so I like to do that. I'd like to go through and just look at the names where we can learn the meaning of the name. One other thing we can notice is that Elkanah is the fifth generation listed here. And there's four earlier generations. He is the fifth. And so we do have the number five, which would identify with the gospel of grace, the atonement, or judgment. These things are in view with that number. And so when we come to Elkanah, we see that he's the fifth generation. Of course, there's earlier ancestors, or there's more. His lineage goes further, and we'll take a look at that in just a little bit. But for some reason, God just wanted to give us the last few generations in order to highlight Elkanah was the fifth. Now, the names. Ramathaim Zophon. Ramathaim is from Ramah, and Ramah means high place or heights. And Zophon is a word that means watchman. So we could see that Elkanah was a watchman of the high place or the heights. He came from Mount Ephraim, and Ephraim means fruitful or fruit. We know this absolutely because in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51 and 52, Joseph named his children. And it says in verse 51, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he has made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So Ephraim is to be fruitful. And Elkanah comes from Mount Ephraim. And his name, Elkanah, means purchased or bought of God. And he's the son of Jehoram. Now, Jehoram was a rather hard name, so I'm not going to try and give a definition to that. There's a couple of possibilities, but it's not too clear. Elihu means God of him, or we would say his God. Elihu, and that's the same name that we find in the book of Job, in the later chapters of Job. And then we have Tohu, and Tohu is unknown. I couldn't find exactly what that name means. And then Zuf is a word that's related to the honeycomb. And so we have all these definitions and what does it mean? Well, it gives us background. It gives us some understanding towards each one of them, as we'll see with Elkanah. It's significant that his name means to be bought or purchased of God. And hopefully if we have time, we'll look at why in a little bit. But let's first go to 1 Chronicles chapter 6, where we'll find a genealogy that identifies with what we're reading here in 1 Samuel 1. In 1 Chronicles 6 and verse 33, it says there, "And these are they that waited with their children of the sons of the Kohathites: Heman, the singer, the son of Joel, the son of Shemuel, the son of Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliel, the son of Toa, the son of Zuf, the son of Elkanah." And then it continues on. But we find that for these five generations, we have a match with 1 Samuel 1:1. And this will help us in understanding Elkanah and who he is, and also in understanding Samuel, who will be born to Elkanah and Hannah. Now, notice that some of the words are slightly different. In verse 34, "the son of Elkanah, the son of Jeroham," those two names are the same. "The son of Eliel," rather than Elihu. "The son of Toah," rather than Tohu. But they are definitely speaking of the same person. Occasionally, we will read of someone having a slightly different name in the Bible. And the son of Zuf. Zuf is the same. Now, how can we be sure that this is the same Elkanah? After all, after Zuf in verse 35, it says the son of Elkanah again. And actually in verse 36, the son of Elkanah. The name Elkanah was fairly common and was given to other Hebrews, other Israelites. How can we be sure that this Elkanah and those names are the same that we find in 1 Samuel? Well, we can be sure because in verse 33 of 1 Chronicles 6, where it says, "Heman, a singer, the son of Joel, the son of Shemuel." Shemuel is Samuel. That's the exact same Hebrew word that we'll find, I think, 137 times in the book of Samuel. It's spelled differently, but it is the identical Hebrew word to Samuel. So here we have the father of Samuel is Elkanah. And then we have the same descendants, the same lineage that we find in 1 Samuel. And more than that, notice Samuel's son or Shemuel's son is Joel in verse 33 of 1 Chronicles 6. Now let's go back to 1 Samuel and we'll read in chapter 8 in the first couple of verses there. "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and then the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba." And I'll just read a couple of other verses because this is interesting. "And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Samuel had a son, Joel, but he was not a faithful man. And he walked not in the ways of his father Samuel." And here in this genealogy in 1 Chronicles 6, we have Elkanah, whose son is Samuel, and Samuel, whose son is Joel. And Joel had a son who was Heman. And let's just carry it one generation further, 1 Chronicles 15 and verses 16 and 17. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Heman the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan the son of Cushaiah. So David appoints Heman, who is the son of Joel, and Joel is the son of Samuel. So Heman is Samuel's grandson, and David appoints him to be a singer. And we read more of David's relationship with Heman, Samuel's grandson, in 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1, says, "Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service, and was." And then it goes on. We'll skip down to verse 4. "Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uziel, Shebuel, and Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliathah, Gildalti, and Romanti Ezer, Joshpikasha, Malathi, Hother, and Mahazioth. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God to lift up the horn, and God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters." So we get a little bit of background, and I don't know about you, but I find it interesting going along, and I normally jot down these kinds of things because we're always reading about certain individuals, and sometimes it just seems that they appear and we don't know anything about them. But we can know that Heman was someone very well known to David, because David was anointed to be king by Samuel, and Samuel had a close relationship with David. And but then Samuel died, but he had children, but his children weren't faithful. But his grandchildren, some of them were faithful, and Heman is one of them. And he basically walks in the steps of his grandfather because he is David's seer. And that word seer in 1 Chronicles 25:5 is translated elsewhere on occasion as prophet. So Heman was a prophet like his grandfather Samuel. And notice that God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters, and that's a very accurate way of putting it. When we have children, God's the one who gives them to us, and here Heman was given 17 children, 14 boys and 3 girls, and that's 17 total, which points to the number of heaven. So there's just something interesting for us that Heman, who was a singer appointed by David and was also his seer, a prophet, was actually the grandson of Samuel. And we also learn some things about Elkanah and about Samuel through the genealogy in 1 Chronicles 6 and some other information. We learn that Elkanah was a Levite, that he was of the tribe of Levi, and he was of the sons of Kohath. He was a Kohathite, and he was a descendant of Kohath. We know this for sure when we go to Joshua 21. And in Joshua 21, beginning in verse 20, "And the families of the children of Kohath, the Levites, which remained of the children of Kohath, even they had the cities of their lot out of the tribe of Ephraim, for they gave them Shechem with her suburbs in Mount Ephraim to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Gezer with her suburbs. Now you might have been wondering, like me, well, why would Elkanah be from Mount Ephraim if he was a Levite? And we have to keep in mind that the Levites had no inheritance like the other tribes of Israel. They were not given one portion of land like Judah or Dan or other tribes where it could be said, this is your boundaries. But they were split up. They were divided amongst the tribes of Israel. God was said to be their inheritance, really, and yet they lived scattered amongst all the tribes. Every tribe had their Levites, and Ephraim had its Levites, and one location they were found was in Mount Ephraim, exactly where Elkanah is from. And so we can understand when we're reading the book of 1 Samuel that Elkanah was a Levite who lived in Ephraim. And we also understand that Samuel, of course, would have been himself a Levite. And the language that we find later, we'll see later with Hannah as she's praying for a son and then offers him to the Lord. Let's see. Well, we find that she, the last verse of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel 1, verse 28, therefore also have I lent him to Jehovah. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to Jehovah. And he worshiped Jehovah there. Now that really is not that unusual, considering that Samuel was a Levite. Because what did God say about the tribe of Levi? If we go a little further back into the book of Numbers, we find in Numbers chapter 8, beginning in verse 13, it says, and thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto Jehovah. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering, for they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself, and I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And it continues on, but here we can see the special relationship that God made with the tribe of Levi. No other tribe is spoken of in this way, where God says that they belong to him. They are mine. Now that brings us back to the name Elkanah, which means purchased or bought of God. Were the Levites bought of God? Were they purchased by him? Yes, when God delivered Israel from Egypt and he brought about the death of the firstborn, He identifies that as the time when he has taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And, of course, spiritually, this ties into Christ, who is the firstborn Son of God, the firstborn from the dead, and the first begotten Son of the Father. And so there's definite spiritual meaning here, as we could understand the Levites on one hand, they can point to Christ, especially when we see that God speaks of them, the whole tribe, as being an offering, because they're in place of the firstborn. And actually, Jesus is likened by or typified by Levi in Malachi, in Malachi chapter 2. It says in verse 4, "And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith Jehovah of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and the iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Jehovah of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Jehovah of hosts." So here this covenant of Levi, in the language that follows, identifies with Christ. And again, we shouldn't be surprised, because God uses many individuals in the Bible to typify Christ, and Levi on occasion is one of them. And who were the sons of Levi? Well, Aaron, the priest, came of Levi. The high priest came of Levi. And so we'll have to get into this a little bit more in our next study, and then we'll continue looking into 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll move into verse 2, and we'll think about why God tells us that Elkanah had two wives, the name of the one Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And then he tells us that Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And we'll see that this does relate again to other information in the Bible that connects to the Gospels.